Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Christmas countdown is ticking, and for many holiday shoppers, it's time to flex those credit cards or agonize over the perfect present. For others, it's time to tuck that cash away more tightly than Ebenezer Scrooge. All this can lead to a stressful season and guilt-ridden New Year. It doesn't have to be that way. Rick Kaler is a wealth advisor and president owner of Kaler Financial Group. He has co-authored 4 books on the psychology of money, and his firm specializes in the integration of financial coaching, counseling, and traditional financial planning. He attracts a nationwide clientele. Rick Kaler joins us to talk about how your unconscious beliefs about money might be impacting your holiday spirit, as well as your bottom line. And he joins us from SDPB's Black Hills studio inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Rick Kaler, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori.
So this, you have a personal finance weekly column that I subscribe to online. And as soon as I saw this one, well, honestly, as soon as I see everyone, I wanted to have you on the show. But as soon as I saw this one, I thought, oh, yeah, this is the season. It's so difficult to make those plans, especially if you have a tight budget all year round. And then suddenly you are expected to figure out something different. That's kind of almost universal, isn't it?
It really is. And the operative word that you mentioned was expectations. Yeah. There's so many expectations. And as you said in your opening, there's so many money scripts that abound during this season that sometimes it's really hard to maintain balance.
And one of the key words is unconscious. You might not even realize, what's driving some of your behavior. Do you see that with clients frequently where they'll have, a habit or an expectation and nobody really knows where that came from?
Well, more than frequently, 100% of the time. Yeah. Our research shows that every person has 50 to 200 unconscious money scripts. And they operate 24/7. They touch every decision that we make about money. And it takes some real purpose and consciousness to even become aware of what my money scripts are, because it's, to us, it's just how things are. It's just, quote, the truth.
Right. And how far back, how early in life do they start being formed?
They start very early in life. In fact, our research shows by the age of 10, most people, their money scripts are pretty well set.
Really?
So, as little kids, if you think about this, a child has no filter. They have no context for mom or dad. What you just said makes no logical sense. Mm-hmm. They have none of that. So they just absorb everything that a parent says about money, that they don't say, what they do around money, what they don't do, and start forming these worldviews about how money is and how it works.
And if you think about how often you overhear, that seems to be when you're a child, not only, whether you get an allowance or a gift. I know I have a tiny little stocking that was needlepoint by my grandmother, and I remember that on Christmas morning that's where the money went. There'd be a coin in there. But you also hear your parents fighting, and you hear your parents celebrating and arguing and spending and not knowing who spent what. There's all kinds of different things that children really overhear that help form their money scripts, I'm guessing.
Well, completely. And it's just impossible for a parent to control. So to help the parents that are listening to this going, oh, I really need to do this and this so I don't give my child any harmful money scripts, you can relax, because you absolutely will give them all sorts of harmful money scripts by very simple things. And for example, a toddler picks up a penny or any coin, puts it in their mouth, and mom freaks out. Get that money. Don't you know that's dirty? Get it out of your mouth. And the kid receives something completely different than what the parent intended.
Right.
That money's dirty.
I have a very early memory of swallowing a penny. And I was still in diaper, and I remember standing at the living room, or in front of the living room, my parents were watching TV, and I remember not being able to communicate that I had just swallowed it. And my dad saved that penny and put it in my scrapbook. He cleaned it up when the job was done and saved it. I don't know why, but
it was a special penny.
It was special.
I think they have coffee beans that are like that.
So how do you sort of dig into what some of your money scripts are? And do you start with the behavior that you have today, or do you start with the memories?
Well, you can start with a behavior. I have a money script log where you put down the behavior and the feelings around that, and then the money script it comes from. But it really helps to do an exercise to start surfacing these money scripts. And there is a money script that I use. I think it can be found possibly online. It's called the Klontz Money Script Inventory. And it's been revised, and I forget how many, maybe 39 questions on it. But you can take this with 39 questions and get a pretty good idea of your general classifications of money scripts. And then from this, for example, a really strong money script has like always, are, never, in the script, which means it's inflexible. A more healthy money script has may, can, more of an acknowledgement that this is not 100%. So it's identifying those really entrenched money scripts that money is freedom. Money means power. Things like that a person just says, well, this is how it is. You know, in this time of year, it's would be it's better to give than receive. Or if poor people weren't so lazy, they'd provide for their own kids at Christmas or things like that. Mm.
And once you sort of have an idea that something is, you know, that needs to be reevaluated, how do you take steps? Because, you know, if that's something that you've believed since you were 10, and your entire family might still believe it. So if you're the person who shows up at, you know, at the annual family traditional gift-giving extravaganza empty-handed or with, something less than or more than what is expected, you're kind of going against that. That's a cultural shift.
Absolutely. That's the pain comes when I have a certain money script and the play changes, which is why we call it money scripts or contextual. It's like my wife recently played Lady Macbeth in Rapid City. Mm-hmm. And as long as she's delivering those lines in Macbeth, it's fine. But if she switches to Hamlet and starts delivering those lines, it's a disaster. So when I have a money script that when I give a present, there will be a reciprocation and I'll get one. As long as that happens, life's great. But when that stops happening, there's some pain. And so once I discover what my money scripts are, then it's a process of beginning to work on reframing them. And by reframing, first we need to understand that every money script is a partial truth, which means it's also partially false. and it's starting to work. Like, for example, one of my money scripts is you got to work hard for money. Mm-hmm. Well, as long as I work hard and the money comes in, life's great. I mean, it's true, right? You work hard, here comes the money. But when you're working hard and the money doesn't come in, that's the pain point. And so it's understanding, oh, it's possible that I can work hard and the money doesn't come in. It's also possible that I don't work hard and the money comes in. It's also possible that I don't work hard and the money doesn't come in. So there's four variations on that one money script. So that's what we mean by reframing it, starting to get flexibility around that belief.
I know one of my money scripts is how many times I've been told you shouldn't spend money on yourself. You know, this is you don't deserve that. You're not worth that. Don't, you know, it's selfish or whatever. And of course, when I go shopping for other people, what do? I just like hoard little things for me. And then I get done, I'm like, I didn't need any of that stuff. So how do you take something like that and really rethink that to say, I don't really want to be spending money on myself, but I feel like I'm the only one who's going to do it.
Yeah, it's there could almost be a conflicting money script there. Yeah. One that says I don't deserve to spend money on myself. And then another one says, dang it, I deserve this. Yeah. I deserve to spend money on myself. And this is very, very common that you have a conflicting money script going. And the first step, you know, just by you articulating this means you're aware of it. That in that moment when you're throwing stuff into the cart, you can check in and say, wow, maybe I'm feeling sad. Maybe I'm feeling hurt. Whatever it is a person might be feeling, I'm putting this item in my shopping basket, and I'm aware I probably will get home and go, I really didn't need this, but I'm doing this because I really feel I deserve it, because I feel so strongly I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
If that's making sense. And what's behind that? Well, this feeling of maybe hurt or whatever it is. And checking in that moment, it frees a person to be able to take that item and put it back on the shelf.
Right. But then it also might bring up, like any kind of sort of, you know, psychological work, you know, waves of grief or sadness or loss or anger.
Oh, absolutely.
So you work with people all the time as they process something huge that they didn't really expect to come up, as they talked about something that seems so harmless, like how much money am I going to save or give or invest? How do you walk them through that next stage of there's work to be done?
You bring up a really, really good point in doing this, and that is the feelings that will come up, the feelings that are attached to this. And that often surprises people around that. And it's very necessary for those feelings to come up, because take your overspender. It's oftentimes feelings of hurt and inadequacy that are driving the spending. I call it medicating. Yeah, there's some underlying pain that's going on, and this will help me push that pain away or distract me from that pain. And it's no different from over-consuming alcohol, recreational drugs, overeating, any number of things that we can do to distract us from that underlying pain. It all kind of comes from the same place. So becoming aware, oh, I am now aware of that pain, just naming it, can absolutely change behavior.
Hmm. I know you work with clients all over the country, but I'm wondering if in South Dakota, are there certain money scripts that seem, thematic, that it's pretty common that's something that, you know, South Dakotans would be processing as a money script? It's in the water here.
Well, I've never thought a lot about that, but the thing that comes to mind is our work ethic. That South Dakotans, people in the Midwest, have a hard work ethic. So I think that's one. I think probably my money script that I've talked about is somewhat of a common money script to Midwesterners. But we do find that money scripts are cultural. And they certainly, there's different money scripts that somebody in Italy may have versus someone here. So there are those nuances. And in fact, there can be cultural personalities around money. National. And they're as limitless as you can imagine them to be.
So is there a right way? I mean, you're trying to get to healthy. And in the next, how many, 14 days or whatever it is until, Christmas for many of our listeners, is there a way to press a reset button right now and make a plan for the next 2 weeks? Because you can spend a whole lot of money between now and Christmas that you weren't intending. It's not over by any means. Some people are done. God bless them. But some of us have not started yet. And what's a good way right now at this point in time to sort of check in, knowing that, there's a lot more work to continue to be done, but here are some first steps for right now.
Yeah, if a person is somewhat aware and understands what a feeling is, and a feeling is one word, and a feeling is ultimately attached to a sensation in the body. So if you have that level of understanding, you can just ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Now, a lot of folks, when you say, what are you feeling, they'll give you a thought rather than a one-word feeling. Mm-hmm. So another way, if a person isn't really in tune to feelings, which I wasn't, the first time I ever heard that feelings originate as sensations in your body, my reaction was like, what body?
Right?
You've got to be kidding me. You can start, just do a stream of consciousness exercise where just say a word. What do I feel about money and Christmas? And write down statements, the first thing that comes to you. What do I feel about money and giving? What do I feel about money and kids? What do I feel about money and saving? And you can do that to a huge number of words and see what comes up. But it's really important not to censor yourself, not to be going, I shouldn't be thinking this, I shouldn't be believing this. You don't have to turn this paper in or give it to anybody. Right. And that will start bringing to light those money scripts. And then you can start saying, okay, how does that impact my behaviors around Christmas? How's that impacting my giving or lack of giving? How does that impact my buying or not buying? And this would be a crash course to get this done before Christmas, but it would be possible to get it done today and maybe raise your awareness by tomorrow.
All right. And then keep doing that hard work, because something that's that deeply ingrained certainly needs more effort. Rick Kaler, thank you so much for being here with us. It's always a pleasure.
Lori.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.